Well, we're going to continue on in our What Now series from Psalm 37, and we've been asking the question, what do you do when you go through challenging times, times of transition, times of difficulty in your life personally? We're in a time of transition in our church as we transition into next pastor, when God's going to bring that individual in the next few months in his timing. We recognize we also live in a rapidly changing society. You read the news. I just read some of the news this week, and I just had it. I can't listen to this anymore. I can't watch this anymore. It's just enough. It's just not good news. And we can get discouraged. And so the question that we're wrestling with and answering is saying, as Jesus followers, how does God want us to live out our faith during this time of transition, both in your life personally and our lives together as a church and even in our culture? And what do you do when things seem not to be going well and the evil seems to be thriving? And those who don't really care about God seem to be doing okay, in fact, doing well. What do you do when you're tempted to just say, I'm discouraged? What do you do? We've gone to Psalm 37. We've found some answers. And I'd like you to turn there once again to Psalm 37. It is one of my most favorite songs. Even as a kid, one of my most favorite verses was Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I've experienced that all my life. And next week, when that's our topic, I'll tell you some more stories about that. But God gave us this counsel. Let's read just the first three verses, okay? Follow with me. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. So, what was the first thing that we were to do when we go through difficult times, when it seems like the wicked are winning? What was the first one? Oh, good. Do not fret. And why don't we fret? Because the wicked are like chaff. Wicked are like grass. Soon they're going to be blown away, gone. It's only for a season. But also, we don't need to fret because God will not forsake you. He is on his throne, as we said today, as we sang today about that. He is on his throne. His love and his faithfulness to you and his church will never fail. Don't fret. We need to remind ourselves of that from time to time. The second one was what? Are you looking at the notes, my sermon notes? Okay, you're getting it. It's awesome. Do not fret. Trust in the Lord, in Yahweh. And last week we were reminded that it's not just to have a lot of trust or faith. It's who your faith is in. The object of our faith is Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God. And we are reminded that we trust in Yahweh by remembering God's promises, by also remembering the past with God and all that he's done with us and for us, and then lastly, by regaining his perspective. We talked about having God's vision and not just human sight. People, we can only see things and we see problems and difficulties and challenges. God says, I don't want you to see. I want you to have vision. I want you to see things from God's perspective. So today we come to the third piece of advice. Very short, very simple, and yet very difficult to do. It says in 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Do good. That's what the psalmist says. That's what David says. When you're going through difficult things and the wicked seem to be thriving, and you see wickedness all around you, and you can be discouraged by that, what do you do? Do good. Did you notice that trust the first part of that verse, trust in Yahweh and doing good go together. It's not just trust only, it's also do good. And we're reminded of that in James, where James says, faith without works is dead. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. David showed us last week that he trusted in God's promises to fight Israel's battles for him. He knew that God had promised he would go before his people and defeat their enemies. He knew that. He believed that. And then he put his faith into action by going into battle, running toward Goliath with his sling. Faith and action go together. Now, I want us to think about this concept where God is saying here, do good. I want us to think about this concept of doing good. Have you ever wondered, why is it so important to God that we do good? In Turning Point, a while back, we had kids write out some questions. And one of the questions was, it was a good question. One of our middle schoolers were saying, well, why should I do any good? I mean, if God forgives me and every sin I do, why even do good? What difference does it make? What does it matter? So the scriptures, as we know, are filled with admonitions. You go from Genesis all the way through Revelation, and it has a host of things telling us what good things we are to do. Whether it's obey your parents or honor your parents, whether it's help the poor, or to pray for those who persecute you, or be generous, or forgive one another, or share with those in need. I mean, the list just goes on and on of all the good things that God says, this is what I want you to do. Well, we were reminded a few weeks ago from Pastor Don's message that God is good. Do you remember that? He talked about God being good and also God's severity. And in that message about God being good, we were led to Psalm 100, verse 5, and it says this about God. It says, for the Lord, Yahweh, covenant-keeping God, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever, His faithfulness to all generations. God is good. It's His nature. It's His character. He is one of moral perfection. There is never a time when God has ever done anything not good. All He knows because of who He is in His character and His nature is goodness. And that's all He will do, is to demonstrate goodness. Jesus said, you know what? Only God is truly good. So it naturally follows that what God would make would reflect His goodness. It would reflect His character. And so His creation is good. You remember Genesis, when God created, every day He created something, He says, that's good. It is good. And then on the sixth day, when He created man and woman, He said, it's not just good, it's what? Muy bueno. Very good. Very good. So you and I were created to reflect God's nature, His nature of being good. And because we're made in the image of God, the Imago Dei, God says, I created you, male and female, so that you would show forth the goodness of my character. That's why it's important to God that we do good. Because when we are designed to express and exhibit the goodness of God. You were created for it. Unfortunately, in the garden, something happened. Once Adam and Eve gave in to Satan's temptation to be like God, our ability and our desire to do good became deeply flawed. Instead, our propensity and desire was to do evil and not good. In the days of Noah, not far after that time when Adam and Eve were created, and in the days of Noah, listen to how God describes what's going on in the earth. Genesis 6, 5 and 6 says, when Yahweh saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time, Yahweh was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. Did you catch that? Here's God's commentary on the condition of mankind. He says, every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. You go online and you read. You watch the news and you read. You watch your world in. Doesn't it feel like that sometimes? Why is it important that we as God's image bearers do good? It's because when we do evil and wickedness, it pains God's heart. When I sin, it grieves the Spirit of God, the New Testament says. Oh, how we need to take this application, this truth to heart. My sin, my failure to do good, grieves the heart of God. When I was growing up, my dad was old. He was 58 years old when I was born. You've heard that before. Sorry to bore you with that. 2 years ago, when I turned 58, I'm going, oh my goodness. How can a 58-year-old, well, I know how a 58-year-old can have a kid, but how can you have a kid and survive at 58? But growing up, my dad had the wisdom and the patience through life's experiences to be a wonderful dad for me, always there for me, a man of grace, a man who was so kind, a man who poured into his son, taught me the things of God. Humble man, loved God, faithful to his God. So by the time I'm in high school, when it's time to go out and do some things that aren't good, because of my dad's goodness, and because my dad was older, it really prevented me from doing a lot of bad things. You know why? Because I knew if I got caught, no, Dad wouldn't kill me. I knew if I got caught, it would grieve the heart of my father. Oh, that we could have that kind of motivation for doing good and refraining from the sinful things that we would do in our lives. That we would recognize my sin when I don't do good grieves the heart of my Father. Well, because God in His story of redemption, in the process of transforming us from being evil doers to being good doers, and that we can't do of ourselves, through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, we're now able to be doers of the good. Because Jesus Christ went to the cross, died for us, paid the penalty for our sin, we as sinful people can be forgiven, and the power of sin no longer has its power over us. The Holy Spirit, as we put our faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us, and He gives us the power and the strength to do good. We cannot do it on our own. Jesus said, you know what? He says, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Why is it so important to God that we do good? It's because He's done something through His Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for our sins, to give us a new recreation inside of us so that we will go back like to the Garden of Eden and again do the good things that God created us for. Why is it so important that we do good? Because God created us to reflect His goodness. God is grieved when we don't do good. God has recreated us now to do good all over again. Why? So that He can receive the glory and the honor and the praise. That is why it's important to God that we do good. Notice that not one of the reasons I just gave you to do good is to merit favor with God or to earn favor with Him. Hey, if I just be good enough here, man, God will think better of me. Or, you know, if I'm good here, I'll feel pretty good because I see them over there. He or she isn't so good, and man, I'm pretty good. That's not what God's saying. You know what God says? He says in Isaiah 64:6, he said this, pretty descriptive. God says, all your good deeds that you try and do on your own apart from me, all your good deeds are like filthy rags. And as you know, the word means menstrual rags. Your good deeds, my good deeds, God says, don't man up to anything. Menstrual rags. All your good deeds are like filthy rags. Ephesians 2 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that faith, not even of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, not of works, unless anyone should boast. So, how do you and I do the good that Psalm 37:3 speaks of? How do we do that? Is it, I'm a Christian now, so I just got to go do this and I'll work harder and I'll be obedient to God. I'm just going to do it, God. I'm going to do it. I will just do it in my own power and strength. No. God has given us a new position in Jesus Christ. He says, your new position is one of righteousness now. You are good through and through. And when I look at you, I see you as being right before me. And not only are you good before me, but now I have given you my Holy Spirit who indwells you. And because He indwells you, you are able to do the good that I want you to do to reflect my goodness to a world who doesn't know my goodness. And so God is saying, I want you to do good, but don't do it in your own strength. I tend to be a people pleaser. And sometimes I'll do things because, you know, I want to please that person. Wrong reason. God says, I want you to do good not to please other people. I want you to do good because I've empowered you to do it and so that you can be a beautiful reflection of my goodness to a world that doesn't understand goodness. And even in their goodness, it's all flawed because the motivation is all wrong. And so I want to give you a simple word to help remind you and I how to do the good you and I are supposed to do. It's a Hebrew word, and it's found in Deuteronomy 6, 3 and 4. You're probably familiar with that passage. It's called the Shema passage. Shema means to hear, and it says, hear, O Israel. As Israel was going to go into the promised land, God was speaking through Moses, and he's telling Moses, Moses, here's what I want you to tell the people. Hear, O Israel. The Lord is one. The Lord is your God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Hear, O Israel. What is one of the repeated words in that Shema? Hear. The word Shema. You know what the word Shema means? It's a beautiful Hebrew word. You're learning some Hebrew this morning. It's a beautiful Hebrew word. And it means to hear with the intent to do. Okay? It's not just like with some of our teenagers sometimes. Blah, 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 blah. Mom and dad, blah, blah, blah. Gone. Okay, yeah, I heard something. There was something came all the way. So if they're like this, you're going, oh, my goodness. They didn't even hear what I said. In Good News Club, sometimes I'm going and my kids are not paying attention. I'm going, I'm trying to teach them God's Word. And there is. Okay, that's not Shema. And Shema isn't, oh yeah, I kind of heard some information and I got it up here. Yep, I can spew it back to you. You told me to go do this or you told me not to go do that. That's not Shema. Shema is, I heard what they said. And it just didn't go into the memory banks. It went to my heart bank. So I heard what you wanted me to do, O God. And now my intention is I am going to go do it. So what does God want for us? He wants us to listen to what He has to say and then go do it. Not argue with Him, not have a theological debate, not feel like, well, I really don't feel like doing that, God. Or, God, there's a problem with that. If I were to do that, then this might happen. God, you know what you're talking about? That's not what God's saying. God is saying, when I speak to you, through my word. This is God's word. When I speak to you through my word, I want you to take it to heart. Go do it. We have a problem in our Western culture. And I struggle with this. And I think you might too. It has deeply influenced the church. And it's a false premise that information leads to transformation. If we get enough information, you'll know enough and you'll make a good choice and good decision. Listen to this. The modern educational system was built on a premise of mastery rather than practice. We go to school, we learn information, and after we've mastered a given field, we go and participate in that field. We come, we grow, and then we go. That's not how Jesus trained his disciples. He was a school of apprenticeship in which what people learned was put into practice the day they learned it. The philosophy of learning that we have in our school systems was also adopted by the church. The experience goes something like this. We go to church, we get information, we grow in our faith, and one day when we have it all figured out, we go out and serve faithfully. The lie embedded in this well-meaning model of discipleship is this. Information leads to transformation. We believe that the more information we acquire, the more we will be transformed into a greater practitioner. We become paralyzed thinking we don't have enough information, enough mastery, or enough training to participate in God's purposes. That is a challenge for us in the church. Jesus is inviting us today to join him in the school of apprenticeship. And what he is saying, he says, I want you to walk with me. Keep it really simple. He says, I want you to walk with me each day. And as you listen to my word, God's word, as you walk through the day, you're in tune with me and you hear me speak to you. Do you believe God speaks to you as you're going through the day? I hope so, because he does. The problem is our day is too busy. And our day is filled with information coming all the time, and it's getting worse. And so it's harder for us to shema and really hear from God. It takes moments of solitude. It takes, even through the day, just a moment in your car just saying, oh, Lord, you're awesome. I worship you. As I go into this appointment right now, God, would you just use me? That's shema. And God is calling us, if we're going to do good, he's saying, I want you to listen and be ready to do it. You know, God has all sorts of things he wants us to do. It's not complicated. When we shema, we allow God to transform ordinary things that we do into powerful, beautiful things. I think of just the illustration of the Christians, Terrence and Stacy, in the difficulty of life, three boys watching mom suffer. She goes through chemo and radiation, and they've asked the church to pray and the body of Christ in Ashton to pray for them as they go through that, and they go and they meet the doctors. In the ordinary course of life, they are shemaing. And when God does something totally amazing, they don't keep quiet. The assignment for the Christians was to tell their doctor, this is what we've been praying about. Our great God, Yahweh, is the one who did that. We've had people praying that don't even go to the same church, but people in Ashton who are believers, Jesus followers, they're all praying for us, and this is what God did. Shema. Just in the normal course of life, God wants to work through you. Lisa Kaplinger is no longer my hairdresser. She thought she had to go be with her husband in Colorado and live with him there. Awesome. I'm missing out on my hairdresser. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Go down to Supercuts. Okay, I'll just go there. It's cheap. But there was a reason to go there. And God had a reason. I said, God, where do you want me to go? Okay, I'll go there. I went there and I met someone who had been in this church years ago and started talking with her about the Lord and just kind of reconnecting with her. I went the other day, and sometimes I'm not always able to get her because there's other people. Every time I've gone there, God gives me somebody else to talk to, and they learn that I'm a pastor, and I just share with them about what I do in youth ministry and what God's doing. And most recently, this last week, I just said, Lord, as I go today, just use me today as I get my hair cut. And so I went into Supercuts, and the gal started talking, and I started telling her, what did I have to tell her about? My grandson. So I start talking about how he had the umbilical cord wrapped around his neck, and it was going to be a problem. But I said, we'd been praying, and God had brought him safe in this world. And says, well, you know, I have faith too. And so we're able to start talking about some God talk in that moment. Shema. It's not complicated. Oh, God, I got to do this, 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 and this. It's like, as we go through the day, Lord, here I am. Use me. There's a beautiful picture of this, and I'll end with this. You guys remember the story of the demoniac. Jesus was out there in the hills of the Gennesaret, and he goes up to this, and this guy has been multiple demons possess him. And he's running around. He lives in the tombs. Isn't it interesting that evil always likes to hang around with death? He's in the tombs, and he's running around, and sometimes he's naked, and they put chains on him, and he bursts the chains. They can't control this guy. He cuts himself. He is hurting himself, and he is just wild. He is just persecuted by these demons. And he comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, Satan, you be gone. And of course, the demons say, well, you know, put us into the pigs. You remember that? So all the demons have to obey Jesus Christ. They get thrown into the bodies of the pigs, and the pigs all run off the cliff and kill themselves, 2,000 of them. And Jesus is there, and the people come running. The people from the towns are going, what is going on? And they find this demoniac, and he's sitting there, it says, in his right mind, clothed. He's normal. God has done a miracle. He's taken him from being demon-possessed, abusing himself, hurting himself, and now he's whole again. And the demoniac says, hey, Jesus, I want to get in the boat with you and go with you. What did Jesus say? Uh-uh. Nope. Doesn't that sound... What? Why wouldn't he go with Jesus? I mean, he'd go into a school of theology. He would go with him and watch him and do things. And Jesus says, no, don't go with me. How long has the demoniac known Jesus? Less than 24 hours. What does Jesus tell him to do? Listen to this. He says, no, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. He didn't go to seminary. He didn't go to Bible school. He just met Jesus, and Jesus did an amazing thing in his life. And what does Jesus say? Shema. Hear what I just told you and go do it. What does the guy do? Shema. He goes off and he tells people. A few months later, Jesus comes back to the 10 cities in that area, and it says throngs of people came to hear Jesus. Why do you think that? The demoniac, in his normal course of life, in a very simple way, said, Jesus, I'm listening. I'll go do good. And the good he was going to go do led to many other people coming to know the Lord. It's not complicated. We don't need a PhD in theology. We need a PhD in obedience. Listening to God and saying, Lord, I'll go. You know what I love in our church family here? There are people that are Shemaing today. Shirley Duell and Diana Nelson, Diana Bakke, came up to me the other day and said, Dwayne, I know you need relieving from out of your third through fifth grade class. We've been talking to the Lord, and the Lord's been talking to us. We'd like to come and take your class. I need to get some things off my plate. So they're willing to do that. Patty Kenny, gifted administrator. I said, Patty, I need help. We have our child protection policy and our volunteer app, and I've been trying to get this thing done for 3 years, but I don't have time to do it. Could you take and do it? In a week and a half, it was done. I can't get to it for 3 years. Someone who is gifted just felt the call of God, say, I can do this. I'm gifted administration. I'll go do it. It's done. We needed someone to put slides on. So Sarah Holtz is awesome. So Sarah said, you know what, that's something I could do. I'll come in Friday. I'm working here anyway. I'll come and I'll just put slides of the songs on there so we don't have to rush around Sunday morning. Sarah's listening to the Lord, Shema. Joyce and Phyllis are saying, Joyce Schlecht and Phyllis Holtz are saying, you know, Dwayne, we could help you. We're going to look through some curriculum and let's see how it is. And we met with them this week and they said, we believe this curriculum would be good and we'd like to organize that. And Phyllis said, you know what, I'm going to organize all the teachers and I'm going to file all your stuff for you and I'm going to organize and do all that. It's off your plate, Dwayne. Awesome. Awesome. Christine and Scott, Marty and Carly, bless their hearts. I'm praying for you. They're going to take 10 or so teenagers down to Mexico. It's going to be awesome. Derek, are you going? I hope you do. It'll be great. They're going to go. They're Shema, listening to God, saying during this time we need to minister to our high school kids as we're in a transition period. We're looking for a youth pastor, worship leader. They're saying we'll fill the gap. Dwayne can't do it anymore. They've been listening to God, and God is going to use them, and it's going to be a wonderful, fantastic trip. God is doing that in our fellowship. God is not going to tell you, go work in children's ministry if you're not into kids. Okay, He won't. God will only have you do what you're gifted to do. It'll be a blessing. It'll be a joy. It won't be a burden. Joyce is in here doing her decorating, and she loves it. She puts in a lot of time. And Joyce, it's awesome, and it's beautiful. She loves doing that, and Jeff's doing all the grunt work behind the scenes, right, Jeff? You know, it's beautiful. She's gifted to do that. So the message for us is that what is Jesus saying to you today? What has He been telling you, both in our church? What does God want you to do here? But also, what is God saying to you, what we're going to do out there? God has led Rich to be involved in Good News Club. Rich has gone down and baked cookies and Millie and gave them to Bellevue School and said, this is from the Good News Club. We love you guys. No strings attached. Last year, we had parents, 42 kids came and parents could do a parent night out. I want to do that again this spring. Outreach, we want to do that. We're going to do that. We're going to have kids here. Mom, Dad, you guys are stressed. Go have an evening out. We'll have a movie night. We'll feed them. Jane fed them last year. We're going to do that. Why? Do good. And that's what we're going to do. We will be doing this thing. Turning Point staff, they're saying, we're not sure we can do VBS this summer. I just had Morgan come up to me and said, you know, me and Harriet and John, I don't know if you guys know this, we decided we still want to do Newell this summer. We'll kind of scale down VBS a little bit, but we want to do it. We're ready to do it. Shema, listening to God, going and doing it. That's what God's calling you and I to do. In these days of transition, in periods of time, when things are difficult out there, God has sent Shema. You may be older and you may go on, what can I do? I watched Vern Burns here and Ellen. They're awesome. How many years have you guys been married? 73 years. Vern turned 98 the other day. Happy birthday, Vern. Okay, you know what Vern does? He shemahs. He listens to God. He's down at the senior center as a 98-year-old youngster, and he's ministering loaves and fishes. And you know what Vern also does? He loves Ellen, and he takes care of her. And it's not always easy to care for one another. He does it. He's shema. He's listening to God. He's doing what God wants him to do. And that's what God wants us to do. So, trust in the Lord and do good. Not in our own power, not in our own strength. But just as we go through today, let's keep this simple. God, speak to me. And when you speak to me and tell me to do something, I won't argue with you. I'm going to go do it. And that's what God's calling you and me to do during this period of time in our life. And watch what God is going to do. He will accomplish His work through this church. He will accomplish this work at His church in Ashland. And we will see God's goodness be revealed to a world who's going, I don't know what goodness means. I think I do, but I don't see it very much. And when you do your act of kindness, and when you do your goodness, God will shine through your act, and people will be attracted to Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we marvel at the truth that God, you are good. And that, Lord, you are perfect, and you created us to reflect your goodness. And so that's why you instruct us in Psalm that, Lord, we're to trust you and we're to do good. Oh, Lord, in the days to come, would you help us to shema? Lord, would you help us to listen with the intention to obey? And that, Lord, as we do that, you're going to use us to impact some people's lives and in this community and in our church. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, we want to listen to you and obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away.
This morning, you have met with us. You have, as we've gathered together, Lord, our heart's desire is to listen to you and obey. Lord, help us to shema this week. Help us, Lord, to listen to you, to trust in you, Lord, to not fret, trust in you, and Lord, to do good. Your power, your strength flowing through us. Lord, dismiss us now. Encourage us this week. Lord, bless us. Use this to reflect your goodness to a world that needs to know and experience goodness in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need prayer, Chad is